I needed to be touched, to be kissed, to be fucked. I needed Andres. We arrived at the elevator and the silver doors opened for Lauren. She took my hand and I gasped as my fingers tingled with awareness. She started to cry as she pulled me into the elevator with her. But I didn't understand why. How could she be sad when everything felt so good? I was warm, so warm. I leaned back against the cold mirrored wall, and a whine eased up my throat. My eyes slid closed as my inner walls began to contract, aching for Andres to fill me. Andres, I groaned his name. You'll see him later, Lauren promised, her voice hitching. After. The elevator stopped and the doors slid open. Lauren was still holding my hand, and she tugged me out into the long corridor. I followed without question, without concern. All I could focus on was the lust coursing through my system, the need building deep inside me. She led me a few steps down the hall and stopped at a closed door. She retrieved a key from her dress pocket and turned the lock before ushering me inside. The door closed behind me with a sharp click, but I barely registered it. The room was huge, yellow lights filling the decadent space. Everything was red velvet and gold gilding. It was warm, soft, sensual. Couches lined the walls, and a massive circular bed dominated the center of the room. People lounged on the couches in varying states of undress. One particularly voluptuous woman was dancing to a heavy, hypnotic beat, her naked body undulating around a silver pole. A musky scent filled the space. It made my pussy clench and my blood race. Several sets of eyes turned on me, male and female. I heard deep, masculine voices rumbling beneath the music, a harsh laugh punctuating the sensuous beat. A man approached me slowly. I recognized him. It was the boy who'd come to clean Andres's suite, the one who'd threatened me. His eyes flicked past me to focus on Lauren. "What's she doing here?" he asked. "She's supposed to be upstairs. Do you know what Andres will do to us if he finds her in here?"
"Christian wants her down here," Lauren said, her voice still trembling with tears. "He said he'd deal with Master Andres."
Something stirred at the edges of my mind. Andres. He was with Christian, and he... God, I needed him. My body was on fire, my pussy throbbing to the point of discomfort. I needed relief. Release. Not caring that I was naked in front of a room full of strangers, I closed my eyes and cupped my breasts, squeezing them to make the tingling in my nipples abate. My firm touch only made my desire grow, and my wet arousal slipped down my thighs.
"If you're sure..."
I heard the boy's voice getting closer, but I didn't care about him. I cared about getting back to Andres, so he could help me ease this craving that was gnawing at my insides. Long masculine fingers closed around my wrists, directing my hands to my sides. Warm flesh touched mine, and I cried out at the shock of sensation as he caressed my breasts. My nipples were hard peaks against his soft palms. Soft, not calloused. This was wrong. It felt wrong, but so good. A loud bang sounded behind me, accompanied by the snap of splintering wood. My eyes flew open when the hands were jerked away from my breasts. Andres's savage snarl filled my senses, and a pleasurable shudder ran through my body at the sight of his scarred face. It was twisted with maddening fury. He held the boy's face in both hands and twisted sharply. Bone cracked, and the boy's body fell to the floor, his neck at an odd angle. Andres positioned his body in front of mine, his fists curled tight at his sides.
"Who else touched her?"
he roared. Who?
No one. Lauren's voice was a high squeak. I'm sorry, Master Andres. I'm so sorry.
Do not speak to me. He bit out each word. You're lucky I don't snap your neck, too.
I heard her heave out a despairing sob, heard her soft footsteps whispering across the carpet as she fled.
Master Andres, I said. I don't like that she calls you Master.
He turned to me, his black eyes burning with rage. Despite his fury, he handled me as though I were a fragile doll, as he lifted me up in his strong arms and carried me out into the hallway. I moaned and rubbed my face against him, like the needy kitten he'd always claimed I was.
You're not hers, I murmured, snuggling into his heat, loving the feel of his corded muscles rippling beneath me. You're mine. My master. I giggled. Isn't that funny? I always wanted a master. And you're mine.
The elevator took us up to his penthouse, and he carried me to the bed. He tried to set me down and pull away, but I locked my arms around his neck, keeping him close.
Touch me, master, I breathed. Please, I need you. My pussy ached, and my desire for him coated my thighs.
He grasped my arms and pried them away from him. His hands slid up to my wrists, and he pressed them into the pillows above my head.
I whimpered and arched my back, lust pulsing through me as he dominated my body.
I can't, he rasped.
His lips were twisted downward, pulling his scar to a deep slash.
I can't be with you like this.
Holding my wrists in place with one hand, he brushed my hair back from my face with the other. I hummed my pleasure and nuzzled into him.
My master, I sighed. Mine.
You don't know what you're saying, he said tightly. I'm sorry, he continued, his voice breaking in a way I didn't understand. I'm so sorry. I wasn't here. I didn't know. When Christian told me, he gnashed his teeth, I should have killed him. I should have fucking killed him.
I wasn't used to hearing Andres curse in English.
You're upset, I observed. Don't be upset. Make love to me, master.
Don't call me that,
he growled, his eyes tightening with anguish.
But you are, I said. I love you, my master, my Andres.
He cut my cheek in his hand.
Please don't say that. Don't.
I wasn't used to hearing him beg, either.
Don't be sad, I said,
dimly noting the wetness pooling at the corners of his black eyes. He blinked hard, and some of the wetness fell to splash against my cheek.
Make love to me, I urged again, arching my back, lifting my tingling breasts in wanton invitation. My entire body was alive, my nerve endings crackling and popping. Heat was building inside me. I was going to burn up if he didn't touch me where I craved it most. I need you.
He pressed a tender kiss against my forehead.
All right, cosita.
He murmured.
I'll help you. I know you must be aching.
I am. My pussy hurts.
I'll kiss it better,
he promised.
Thank you.
I sighed in relief. He was going to touch me. He was going to kiss me. I lifted my face to his, but he turned away.
Not your lips, he said,
still sounding oddly pained.
I can't when you're like this.
But you said you'd kiss me,
I whined.
You said, oh.
Ecstasy lashed through me when he lowered his mouth to my tight nipple, flicking the tip with his tongue before sucking the peak into his mouth. He didn't use his teeth, and I was grateful. Just the heat of his mouth was intense enough to bring tears to my eyes. Please, I begged, lifting my hips. I needed him to touch my pussy. It was starting to throb to the point of pain.
He shushed me gently, pressing his palm against my stomach to pin me down. He moved onto the bed with me, but his body didn't settle atop mine. I wanted his comforting weight holding me down, but he positioned himself between my quivering thighs. I watched in rapt fascination as he lowered his head to my pussy and touched my wet folds with his tongue. His hungry groan mingled with my harsh cry. He'd never kissed me there before, and it felt
so good, I panted, my fingers spearing in his thick hair as I pulled him closer. More.
He traced the line of my opening, teasing the little patch of skin between my pussy and my asshole, before licking all the way up to my pulsing clit. I thrashed as stars burst across my vision, bliss singing through my veins. He growled against me, and his hands locked around my thighs, forcing me wide open. His tongue circled my clit, applying firm, hot pressure. My inner walls contracted and clenched, yearning to be filled. He licked and sucked at my pussy lips, tormenting me with ruthless pleasure. It wasn't enough. I needed him inside me, needed him to mark me with his cum. Tears leaked from the corners of my eyes as pleasure turned to a deep, knifing pain between my legs. The building pressure had to release, or it would destroy me.
Please, I choked on a sob. I need you inside me. It hurts. Please, master.
He pressed one final kiss against my clit before his body covered mine. He freed his hard cock from his slacks and lined up with my soaked pussy. His eyes searched mine, dark with hunger and yearning.
You shouldn't call me that, he ground out, hesitating at my opening. You shouldn't.
I wrapped my legs around him and drew him into me.
My master, I moaned in relief when he filled me to the hilt.
A deep, pained sound slipped between his clenched teeth. He braced his arms on either side of my head and started to move within me, thrusting hard and deep. His forehead dropped to rest on mine, and he stared down into my eyes, his face drawn tight in an expression I didn't understand.
Forgive me, he whispered. Forgive me, Sirenita.
I didn't know what he was talking about, and I couldn't focus on his words. All I could think about was how good his big cock felt stretching my tight sheath, how perfectly we fit together. The ruthless pleasure that had been building inside me crested, and I shattered on a scream. My fingers fisted in his hair again, and I pulled his face down to mine so I could revel in his exquisite taste while my orgasm rolled through me. I caught his rough shout on my tongue, felt more wetness on my cheeks as his hot cum lashed into me, soothing the need that had consumed me. I shuddered beneath him as bliss flooded my body, making me light and tingly. My numb fingers fell from his hair, finally releasing him as all my muscles turned to jelly. I closed my eyes and slipped into velvety darkness, his softly spoken words following me down into sleep.
Forgive me.
Chapter 23. I stirred, slowly coming back to awareness. My body felt strangely heavy, and I was sore between my legs. I opened my eyes to find the shades drawn, with only the soft glow of city lights peeking around the edges. Night had fallen, but I was just waking up. Everything started to come back to me in pieces. Lauren dosing me with bliss, the red and gold room, the boy touching me, and Andres coming to my rescue like some dark avenging angel. I sat up, searching for him,
He sat on the edge of the bed, watching me with bloodshot eyes. His posture was stiff, his face a blank mask. He was fully dressed in his sharp suit, but his hair was wet, as though he'd just taken a shower.
"Thank you," I murmured, reaching for him.
He shifted away, grimacing.
"Don't thank me. I fucked you while you were high out of your mind. I violated you."
"No," I said fiercely, grabbing his hand before he could retreat farther. "I begged you to." Even though I hadn't been able to control myself while under the influence, I remembered everything clearly now. "I needed you to. I was hurting. You helped me."
He turned his face away from me, but he didn't pull his hand from my grip.
"You shouldn't have called me master," he said hollowly. "You shouldn't have done that. I couldn't."
He pressed his lips to a thin slash, holding in whatever he was going to say.
"I'm not blaming you. You didn't know what you were saying. It's not your fault. None of this is your fault. You didn't ask to be trapped with me. You didn't ask to be beaten and raped."
"You didn't rape me. Don't you dare call it that. Don't you dare."
Angry tears made my vision swim, and I swiped them away from my cheeks. "You were helping me. I trusted you to help me. I love you, Andres, and I meant what I said. You're my master."
He rounded on me, his eyes blazing.
"Don't call me that," he barked,
his hand tightening around mine in a vice-like grip. I moved toward him, scooting across the bed so I could get in his face.
"You did nothing wrong," I said, imbuing the words with as much fervor as I possessed. "You saved me. You've been saving me this whole time. You've been protecting me from Christian. He would have
what?" he shouted over me. "Ordered Lauren to slip you bliss and whore you out. That's what he wanted, Samantha. He wanted you to scream in pleasure while they violated you. He wanted them to send you back to me, broken and used. He wanted to punish me for my failure." "I should have killed him," he hissed, his gaze turning feverish. "But I didn't. I ran back to you as soon as he told me. He fucking laughed while I ran away from him."
"You got back to me in time." I cupped his face in my hands, trying to get him to focus on me.
"You saved me. You protected me."
He grabbed my wrists, squeezing to the point of pain. But he didn't move my hands away from his face.
"I can't protect you," he rasped. "I'm a coward. You deserve better than me."
"I don't, and you're not," I asserted. "I want to be with you, Andres. You're not a coward."
"I'm afraid of him," he admitted on a bitter whisper.
"I know," I said softly, "and I understand."
"You don't. My face."
He trailed off with a shudder and cut his eyes away. I touched his scar, applying enough pressure to guide his face back to mine. "Tell me what he did to you." It was a steady command. Andres needed to purge this from his soul. It was the only way he'd be able to free himself from the power his brother held over him.
"It was 3 years ago," he began, the words bleeding out of him. "Christian made a deal with some Russians. He started dealing in bliss. I'd never dared to challenge him, but I hated it. It was too far, too much. He was selling women, just like he sold my sister. So I decided to stage a coup and take over the organization myself. I'd always been the one to keep the business running. I could do it without him. My life would be better without him."
He paused, his eyes sliding out of focus as he fell into memory.
"He found out," I surmised, quietly urging him to continue. His jaw tightened beneath my hands.
"One of my men betrayed me. Christian came for me before I made a move against him. He strung me up in front of all of our people, the ones he hadn't killed for following me. He cut me. He made me scream, He humiliated me. Then he stitched me up himself to make sure the marks lasted.
My stomach churned, nausea rising in my throat.
Andres. I said his name shakily, struggling to get my tears under control. I wanted to weep for him, but that wasn't what he needed from me. He needed me to be strong. He needed me to show him that his scars only made him more beautiful in my eyes. They were marks of his defiance, of his goodness. He bore them because he tried to put a stop to his brother's evil.
I leaned in and brushed my lips across the deep furrow in his cheek.
I love you, I said with the weight of an oath. We're going to get away from your brother. Together. His brows drew together, his face twisting in lines of anguish.
I have something for you, he said, instead of responding to my fervent declaration.
I didn't like that he was avoiding what I'd said, but he pulled me into his lap, cuddling me close.
I sighed and pressed my cheek into the crook of his neck, relief washing through me at the feel of his strong arms around me.
He shifted slightly, reaching for something on the cart beside the bed. Confusion threaded through me as he uncapped the syringe.
Lauren already gave me the birth control shot, I told him.
One corded arm wrapped around me, pinning me against his hard body as he carefully slid the needle into my upper arm.
It's not birth control. I should have sent you away hours ago, but I had to see your lovely eyes one last time.
What are you?
My tongue grew heavy in my mouth, and lethargy rolled over me as my eyes drooped closed.
I can't protect you,
he said, pressing a kiss against my motionless lips.
Goodbye, Sirenita. Te amo.
I knew what it meant. I love you. Chapter 24. I awoke to the sound of someone's fist pounding on wood. Forcing open my sandpaper eyelids, I struggled to assess my surroundings. In my gut, I knew something was wrong. The bed beneath me, the two rough sheets that covered me, the slacks I wore? Wrong. I could still smell Andres's unique, masculine scent, but that was because I was covered by one of his huge shirts. The pounding increased in volume, escalating to banging. The sound reverberated in my skull, and I winced, my aching brain working overtime to process everything.
Sam!
A familiar voice bellowed. I glanced toward the locked hotel room door that separated me from my friend.
Tex?
I rasped, my throat too dry. Wood is splintered and the door burst open. My best friend rushed toward me.
No,
I breathed. Dex couldn't be here. That meant
no.
Anguish wrapped around my heart. Andres had sent me back to my friends, back to safety, and he'd left himself at his brother's mercy. Christian would punish him for letting me go.
It's okay, Sam, it's me.
Dex stopped a few feet away from me, keeping the same careful, respectful distance he always did.
Are you hurt?
Jason asked. He stood even farther away, barely inside the broken doorway. Tension gripped his body, and his dark green eyes studied me intently. His lips twisted in disgust when his gaze fell on Andres' shirt covering me. It obviously belonged to a man. It nearly swallowed my much smaller frame.
Who did this to you?
He ground out, clearly putting two and two together. He saw my state of dress and assumed I'd been violated by my captors.
Where is he?
I asked thickly, struggling to control my tongue. The drugs lingered in my system, sapping my strength and dulling my mind. All I knew was I had to get back to Andres before Christian hurt him.
Who?
Dex asked, kneeling beside the bed so he could study my face.
Who were you with? We got an anonymous call saying you'd be here, or you...
He eyed Andres' shirt, his pale blue gaze igniting with rage. His jaw clenched and he took a deep breath.
Are you hurt?
I'm fine, I slurred. I have to go.
Go? Sam, you've been missing for almost a month. You're not going anywhere.
I tried to sit up, but the world wavered around me, and I dropped back onto the pillows.
I have a bus on the way, Jason said.
I didn't want an ambulance. I didn't want to go to the hospital. I wanted to get back to Andres before something terrible happened to him. But I couldn't seem to move. I could barely think. I heard Dex talking, but I couldn't quite focus on what he was saying. The room kept sliding into darkness. Every time the world disappeared, I tried to force my eyes back open. I was fighting a losing battle. Everything dissolved around me, until all I had left was fear for Andres. When I finally came back to full awareness, I found myself in a hospital bed. Dex was standing at the threshold to the room, his massive body blocked by a short nurse who was clearly struggling to hold her ground. I heard her murmur the words, "rape kit," as she tried to shoo Dex away, and my stomach dropped. I couldn't let them run a rape kit. I'd had sex with Andres a few hours ago while under the influence of bliss, and he'd come inside me. I doubted his DNA was on file anywhere, but I couldn't allow them to collect that kind of evidence against him. I want to talk to Dex, I said loudly, alerting them both to the fact that I was awake. His blue eyes blazed when they focused on me, his tanned face oddly pale. He evidently hadn't liked the words rape kit either. Although he was disturbed for entirely different reasons. He thought I'd been used against my will, violated. I need to talk to you, I said more softly. Please. My mind whirred to life. I had to figure out a way to save Andres before Christian realized I was missing. I'd start by questioning Dex. I needed to know what the FBI suspected about my abduction and what was being done to try to find the people who'd taken me. The nurse finally stepped aside and allowed Dex to enter. He approached me carefully, moving slowly so he wouldn't spook me. He reached for me, almost touching my shoulder. Then his hand clenched to a fist and he pulled away. He never had been willing to push past my barriers and touch me. We were buddies, and he respected my personal space issues. Once, I'd longed for him to look at me with desire. With love. Now he was watching me with concern, and all I wanted was for him to get out of my way, so I could get back to the man I loved before something terrible happened to him. I knew where Andres's building was located. I'd spent enough time staring down at the cross streets below his penthouse windows to know exactly how to find my way back to him. Andres obviously thought I'd accept the sanctuary offered by the Bureau. He thought he could send my friends to retrieve me, and I'd quietly go back to my life with the FBI, kept safe by my fellow agents. He was wrong. I was going straight back to him.
Te amo.
He loved me. He loved me so he'd let me go. He didn't believe he was strong enough to fight his brother. But he hadn't counted on having me by his side. He'd only seen me in my weak attempts to fight as a field agent. He'd never seen me in hacker geek goddess mode. If I could get back to him, I could show him how easy it would be for the two of us to take Christian down. I just needed his laptop, and I'd be able to destroy Christian financially, backing him into a corner before sending the full power of the FBI after him. I'd send all the incriminating evidence straight to Jason and Dex, and they'd handle the arrest. Especially if they knew Christian was the one responsible for my abduction. It was Christian Moreno, I said quietly, looking straight into Dex's eyes. He kidnapped me. His jaw clenched. He knew about the bliss and human trafficking. He'd seen me in Andres's shirt, and he was clearly coming to some dark conclusions.
Jason thought Division 9C had you. We looked into Moreno.
There was no evidence. We didn't think you were on his radar. We were looking in the wrong place. Fuck, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Sam. Did he... Were you hurt?
I cut my eyes away from his, even though I didn't feel any particular compulsion to do so. My nervous tic seemed to have been eradicated, but I didn't want him to see the truth in my eyes. I hadn't been hurt. Not really. But it was to my advantage if Dex thought I had been. I needed him to think I was weak, shaken, not fully mentally sharp and calculating the best way to get Andres away from both his brother and the FBI.
"Where's Jason?" I asked instead of answering him.
"He's out looking for the people who did this to you. I'll call him and tell him it was Moreno."
"What about you?" I pressed quietly. "Will you go after Christian?"
"No. I'm staying right here with you."
Crap. I needed him to leave. I had to get back to Andres, especially while the FBI was distracted with tracking Christian. I'd been running through all the potential ways to save Andres, and one had become clear to me. I had to get him and his laptop from his penthouse and go into hiding. I didn't know how to get in touch with Andres directly. I'd never seen him with a phone, and while I knew he must have one, I didn't know how often he kept it on him. Certainly not when he was in his penthouse. That was a mostly technology-free zone, except for his laptop. Even if I was able to find his number somehow, and I'd need access to a computer for that, it would take too long to track down. I wasn't sure how long I'd been out of it, but Christian could find out I was missing at any time and decide to hurt Andres for letting me go. So the time factor ruled out trying to communicate with Andres remotely. That meant I'd need to go to him in person, which was an impossibility as long as Dex was hovering over me. He'd follow me, or worse, prevent me from leaving the hospital. I couldn't risk telling him about Andres, because then the Bureau would know exactly where to find the man who'd been holding me captive. They wouldn't treat him gently if they knew his role in my abduction, no matter what I said to defend him. Once I got away from Dex and back to Andres, we'd leave Chicago. I wasn't sure what kind of private transportation Andres had at his disposal, but I was fairly certain he'd have something we could use to leave the city. A car would do. A jet would be awesome. I'd never cared for his drug money, but in that moment, I hoped to hell Andres had a private jet. If he didn't, I'd have to get us fake passports, and that would be a snag I wasn't quite ready to deal with. Maybe he'd have a connection somewhere that could help. What good was being in love with a master criminal if he didn't have some useful, seedy connections? Somehow, we'd get out of the country. I'd move all his money to an offshore account, at least as much as we needed to survive, and then we'd ride off into the sunset together. Now that I was faced with the prospect of being returned to my old life, I realized I didn't want it. I'd spent years hiding behind my computer. I was ready to live my life, and I wanted to share it with Andres. I didn't care where we went, as long as we were together and he was safe from Christian. But I had to get past Dex first. My eyes searched the room. He'd left his keys and phone on the table in the corner, beside a chair where he must have been sitting while I slept. I needed those keys. Not the phone, because that could be tracked. I didn't know how to call Andres anyway. Access to the internet from the smartphone would have been nice, but I didn't have time to do any hacking, especially not from a phone. I could do much more significant damage to Christian once I had access to the raw data on Andres' laptop. Can you do something for me? I asked, still not meeting Dex's eye. He wouldn't think anything of it. I rarely looked directly at him.
Anything, he said hoarsely.
Can you get me some real clothes? I wore a hospital gown, which wasn't ideal for escape.
I got Chloe to bring you some, he said,
gesturing at a pile of neatly folded clothes on the table beside my hospital bed. Oh, thanks. Could you, get me something else?
My mind raced, trying to think of some errand I could send him on to make him leave me alone for a few minutes.
Coffee. I said quickly, I haven't had coffee in weeks. It was true, but I hadn't needed it, so I hadn't really missed it. I'd slept so soundly with Andres that I hadn't required my usual 2 cups a day.
I don't want to leave you, Dex said. I can wait until another agent comes to relieve me, and then I'll get you anything you want.
Please? I begged, letting my real desperation shine in my eyes as I finally looked up at him. I miss it. Coffee is normal, and I haven't... I couldn't. I trailed off, letting Dex read whatever dark things he wanted into my unfinished sentences. His jaw worked as he ground his teeth together, and he nodded tightly.
Okay, Sam, I'll get you coffee.
Is there a Starbucks here? You know what I like. Quad venti iced Americano with 2 pumps of mocha syrup? Please? I added again when he looked hesitant.
That's all the way downstairs, he said gently. It will take a few minutes. I don't want to leave you here by yourself.
I'll be fine, I said, feigning a yawn. I'm still so tired. I'll nap while you're gone.
Okay, he said reluctantly. There's a CPD officer just outside the door. She'll keep you safe while I'm gone. You don't have anything to worry about.
Thank you, I forced myself to say. Shit, now I had to talk my way past a police officer too? I set about formulating another plan as I watched Dex leave my hospital room. A small pang speared my heart as he walked away. This would be the last time I saw him. In person, anyway. I fully intended to keep in touch online, if he was willing. As soon as the door closed behind Dex, I got out of bed and quickly pulled on the clothes Chloe had brought for me. A pair of yoga pants, made for a woman with a much more toned butt than me, and a soft black t-shirt. It felt weird wearing clothes after spending so much time naked in Andres's bed, but they were comfortable enough. I picked up Dex's car keys and made my way to the door, opening it with purpose. Excuse me? The officer said as soon as I stepped into the hall. Where are you going? I need to find a nurse, I said. My call button isn't working and I need some painkillers. The woman eyed me, assessing. You don't look injured to me. I dropped my eyes again to hide my lie, hoping it made me appear frail and damaged. You can't really see where I'm hurting.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll go find someone for you.
Thank you, I murmured. I watched her walk down the hall through lowered lashes. As soon as she rounded a corner, I took off in the opposite direction. I wasn't familiar with the hospital's layout, but it wasn't difficult to find my way to the elevators and ride down to the parking garage. Once I was there, I hit the panic button on Dex's key so I could locate his car. I raced across the garage, sprinting toward the sound of shrill beeping. As soon as I got to his black sedan, I turned off the panic signal and got into the driver's seat. I was careful to leave the garage at a normal speed, even though I wanted to tear across town to get to Andres. I couldn't get a cop tailing me for speeding right now. I was only a few blocks away from the hospital when a phone started ringing in the glove compartment. Sighing, I retrieved Dex's personal phone and noted his work phone number on the caller ID. I also noted that he had a spare SIG stashed in there. Good. I could use a weapon, just in case. Don't be mad, I requested as I answered the call.
Where are you? He growled. You took my keys. The officer said you were wearing Chloe's clothes. Do you know what I thought when I came back and you were gone? I thought he'd come back for you. I thought...
I'm fine, I promised, cutting off his tirade.
Why? He demanded. Why would you leave? And where the hell are you going?
Back to him, I said truthfully. I have to save him, Dex.
You're going back to Moreno? Are you crazy?
Dex probably thought I was unhinged, warped by my time in captivity. I hadn't been warped, but I had been changed. Maybe I was a little darker than I had been, a little less pure. Maybe some of my light had spilled into Andres, just as some of his darkness had seeped into me. I had to get back to him, to grab him and his laptop and get the hell out of Chicago before Kristen realized I'd been freed. Once we were off the map, We could take Christian down. I wasn't exactly sure where we'd go, but I'd make sure to set enough of Andres's money aside in an offshore account to establish a safety net for the two of us. The rest could be donated to various charities to start to set right some of the evil Christian had brought into the world. Evil that Andres had facilitated, even if he hadn't wanted to do it. I'd help him atone. I'd have some atoning of my own to do. After all, I was stealing Dex's car and going on the run with a notorious criminal. I grinned to myself. Maybe I was a bit of an anti-hero. Cool. Sam, come back to the hospital, please. I can't. Sorry, Dex.
Do you know what it did to me when you went missing? I can't lose you again. Come back to me.
I didn't like the anguish in his voice. I didn't want to hurt my best friend. I owed him an explanation. I'm going back to Andres, I told Dex. I love him.
Andres Moreno?
No, you don't. You're confused. I'm not confused, I said calmly. Not anymore. I used to think I was in love with you. Did you know that?
What?
His breathless tone let me know he'd had no idea. It's okay. I'm supposed to be with Andres, just like you're supposed to be with Chloe. If she were in danger, you'd do anything to save her, wouldn't you?
Of course, but
that's what I'm doing right now. I'm saving the man I love. I'll send you all the dirt you'll need to arrest Christian in a few hours. Call Jason and tell him to start getting ready to move in on Christian. I need you to find him fast, Dex. I'll do what I can to drive him out into the open.
Don't do this, Sam, Dex pleaded. Let me help you. I know I failed you, but let me help. I can't make it right, but I made my own choices, I said firmly.
And I'm making my own choices right now. You didn't do anything wrong, Dex. I'm happier than I've ever been in my life. Well, I will be, I amended. I just had to go save my man. Don't try to look for me, I warned. I'll see you online if you're ever up for a game.
I'm going to find you, Sam, he promised. Whatever's happened to you, I'm going to help you.
I don't need your help. You need mine. I'm going to keep tracking Division 9C for Jason. I'm going to make sure Natalie is safe for good. I'll email him, but don't bother trying to trace it, because you'll just be wasting the tech analyst's time. I mean, I know you'll make them try, but don't be too mean to them when they fail. I was in full-on hero mode, and it felt damn good. I was armed with a weapon and my wits, more powerful than I'd been in weeks, possibly ever. Now I just needed to get back to Andres, log on to his laptop, and proceed to destroy his sadistic brother for good.
Sam, come back, please.
I really do hope I'll see you online, I said, softening. Don't shut me out. You're my best friend.
I'll see you in person, he said firmly.
Webcams have been around for like a quarter of a century, Dex, and I'm going to have a really great internet connection, so you'll be able to see me crystal clear. Tell Chloe she'd better take good care of you. I'll be checking in. I ended the call and dumped the phone out the car window so Dex couldn't use it to track me. I'd leave his car in the garage for Andres's building. By the time he traced it there on traffic cams, we'd be long gone. It took me precisely 12 minutes to get to Andres's building. I relished knowing exactly how long it had taken me down to the minute. I really had missed everyday conveniences like digital clocks. Wherever Andres and I ended up, we would have one in every room, I'd insist. I diverted myself from my little fantasy of our home together and pulled into the garage. Well, I tried to pull in. The barrier didn't open for me. Fuck. I put the car in park and hurried out of it, grabbing up Dex's SIG on my way. I'd have to go in through the front, which was a shitty non-plan, but I couldn't linger here either. If someone noticed Dex's unauthorized sedan blocking the entrance to the garage, I'd be a sitting duck. I needed to get up to the penthouse, get Andres and his laptop, and get out. Mustering up all the newfound confidence I possessed, I strode through the glass front doors. The atrium was surprisingly bland, like any nondescript office building. But I supposed it wasn't in Andres's best interest to be ostentatious about where he lived. A man in a security uniform looked up from a row of computer screens as soon as I stepped through the door. He stood quickly, pushing out of his chair where he'd been lounging behind the front desk. I pointed my weapon at him and shook my head before he could reach for his own gun. "Don't even think about it," I warned. "I'm taking the elevator up to the penthouse. Do you have access?"
"No,"
he said quickly, shaking his head and holding his hands up high to prove he wasn't a threat. "Okay, then. I'm going to the third floor. Is there another elevator?"
"Yeah, that way."
He pointed toward a darkened corner, and I saw little glowing circles that indicated call buttons for a set of elevators. "You're coming with me," I told him, gesturing for him to come out from behind the desk. "Keep your hands where I can see them." He moved where I'd instructed, and I closed the distance between us to take his gun from its holster.
"Let's go,"
I ordered, and he began walking toward the elevators, his hands still held high. I just needed to get to the third floor and find Lauren. She had access to the penthouse, well, she did as of yesterday. I hoped Andres hadn't had time to revoke her clearance. I shook my mounting worry from my mind. If she couldn't take me upstairs, she'd know how to contact Andres. I'd never seen him with a phone, but he must have one he used when he left his suite. I considered asking the guard if he was able to call Andres, but I had to guarantee that he'd bring his laptop down with him. His most likely reaction to finding out I'd returned to his building would be to storm downstairs and try to make me leave. He'd be too enraged to think to bring his laptop, even if I asked. No. I needed to personally get up there and get both my man and the computer. The guard and I were only 3 yards away from the elevators when something sharp pierced my lower back. Pain lanced through me as electricity jolted my system. I lost control of my limbs, and I dropped to the hard marble floor, my guns slipping from my hands as I went down. Fuck! I knew what a taser felt like. I also knew I wouldn't be able to move for another minute or so. The guard I'd taken as my hostage bent down and scooped up my weapons, training one on my heart.
"Wade," a new unfamiliar voice said. "We need to call this in and see what the boss wants us to do with her."
A second man appeared over me, holding the taser that had taken me down. "Yes," I wanted to say, "call Andres." The words were an unintelligible groan.
"Took you long enough to get here," the guard complained. "She could have fucking shot me." "You're lucky I came back from my break early then," the second man said coolly. "Cuff her," he advised.
The guard nodded and grabbed the handcuffs attached to his belt. He quickly secured my wrists at the small of my back, while the second man pulled out his phone and placed a call. He spoke into the receiver in rapid-fire Spanish that I couldn't follow. I'd been disarmed and restrained in a matter of seconds. I really sucked at being a field agent. As soon as Andres got me out of this mess, I promised myself I'd never fight crime in person again. I could work far more effectively from the comfort of my ergonomic chair behind my computer screen.
"Moreno wants to see her," the second man said, ending his call. "Get her downstairs."
"Downstairs? Not up?" The two men gripped my upper arms and wrenched me to my feet. I couldn't support my own weight, so they started dragging me the short distance to the elevators. Once we were inside and the guard had pressed the button for the basement, I started to regain some control over my muscles. I'd only just managed to get my legs to support me when the doors slid open and my knees gave out. Andres wasn't waiting for me. Christian was. Chapter 25.
"Samantha," his accented voice caressed my name. "I thought you were gone."
His sharp smile flashed in the dim light of the spare bulb overhead. I recognized this as the same room where he'd brought me when he'd initially captured me, the day he'd given me to Andres. I didn't respond. What was I going to say? The phantom chill of his knife on my skin made me tremble as fear pulsed inside me. Andres will come, I told myself. He'll find me. He always did. He'd come charging in and kill everyone who threatened me. Wouldn't he? Did that vicious protective streak extend to his brother? I wasn't certain Andres would be able to challenge him. He will. For me, he will. I hoped I wasn't lying to myself. My own fear of Christian was enough to blow all the wits right out of my mind. I couldn't imagine the clawing, instinctive panic Andres must lock inside every time he faced his brother. The men holding me upright dragged me forward. I tried to dig in my heels, but my feet stumbled uselessly as they closed the distance between me and Christian. His black eyes, so like Andres's, studied my face, searching.
You came back, he said, his head canting to the side as his eyes narrowed at me. Why, my men say you were armed. Were you going to kill Andres?
No. The word popped out before I could hold it back.
Then why return when my brother set you free?
I swallowed hard and braced myself for the lie, drawing on a defiant mask. I came to kill you. I was trying to find you. I was going to deal with him after. I couldn't tell him about my feelings for Andres. If I did, he might hurt him again. Andres had warned me about Christian, even in our early days together. The sadistic bastard liked to force you to watch while he hurt the person you loved most. When Andres had first told me about his brother's sick proclivities, I'd feared for Dex's safety. Now, I feared for Andres. I had to make Christian believe I saw Andres as my cruel captor, and that I was coming for revenge on the Moreno brothers. Christian laughed, the sound rich with genuine delight.
You do want to kill him? He'll be so devastated. He does tend to get a soft spot for his pets. You especially. I thought he was actually going to try to attack me when I told him I'd ordered Lauren to dose you with bliss. He didn't like the idea of other men fucking you.
I remained silent, willing my brain to start figuring a way out of this.
How about we make a deal?
Christian continued before I could gather my thoughts.
I can't let you kill Andres. He's the only family I have left, and he's very good at running my business. But I'll let you cut him up a little. I was about to do the same myself. He really shouldn't have let you go back to the feds. That puts my entire organization at risk.
My stomach turned. I couldn't hurt Andres. But if Christian was offering to hand me a knife? No, that would be suicidal. There were still two armed guards in the room with us. If I tried to stab their boss, they'd shoot me.
Take off the cuffs,
he ordered his men. But he didn't take his eyes off me.
I'm going to need to make this look right to keep Andres in line. I'm sure you understand.
The handcuffs fell from my wrists, but I didn't have a chance to think about defending myself. Christian's fist slammed into my jaw. Pain cracked through my skull, and I tasted blood in my mouth as my cheek cut against my teeth. The basement flickered out of existence. When I started to come back around, I became aware of the familiar feel of leather cuffs around my wrists. My arms were being pulled above my head, and my weight started to fall on my wrists. I scrambled to get my feet under me, but the tension on my arms increased, forcing me up onto my toes. I blinked hard, fear helping clear away the throbbing pain in my skull. It receded to a dull ache as adrenaline kicked in. Christian came into focus, his handsome face filling my vision. He touched his long fingers to my injured jaw, and I hissed as pain spiked.
This will do, he said,
studying me as though I were an object instead of a person. Worse than that, a tool he was going to use to hurt Andres.
I had these set up for my little brother, he explained, gesturing at the restraints that stretched my body taut. He screamed so much the last time I did this to him. I didn't think he'd ever want to repeat the experience. But then he let you go. Imagine how upset he'll be when he sees you here instead, after he tried to save you from me. He grinned. He'll be absolutely destroyed once you start to work on him. Don't worry. I'll let you down so you can get your revenge once I have him where I want him. Then, the offer to work for me still stands. He grabbed my jaw hard, making me cry out. If you refuse, I'll find another use for you. Did you enjoy your time in my brothel?
I'll work for you,
I forced out, struggling to speak when pain lanced through my jaw. I'd say anything to buy some time. I'll get us out of this. I promised myself I will.
Good.
He released my jaw, and I sagged forward, my weight falling onto my wrists before I caught myself on my tiptoes.
My brother might be obsessed with you, but you're too skinny to earn me much as a whore, no matter how pretty your skin is. I knew Andres would enjoy marking it up.
He reached around me, and his fingertips trailed over my bare thigh, tracing the line of one of the faint bruises Andres's crop had left when he was punishing me for trying to escape. I gasped and tried to move away from his hand, but there was nowhere for me to go. His touch on my exposed skin made me look down to assess my body. I'd been stripped again, but in this horrible place, it didn't feel normal to be completely bare. Cold air teased across my skin, making me very aware of how vulnerable I was.
Mi hermanito is on his way down, he told me. Should we put on a little show for him?
He reached for his belt, where he kept the wicked hunting knife close to his side. Don't, I begged, remembering the grating agony of the blade scraping across my collarbone.
I need to make a point, he told me, waving off my plea as though it was nothing to be concerned about.
He stepped behind me and touched the knife to my throat, the cold steel barely kissing my skin. My breath stuttered. I knew how easily it could part my skin, carving me up, the way he'd tortured Andres. The soft thump of the elevator arriving sounded just before the door slid open. I had a moment to register Andres's face fixed in a carefully blank mask, before his features twisted with rage.
Samantha!
He snarled out my name and launched himself out of the elevator.
Stay right there,
Christian commanded. The knife sliced a stinging line into my throat, and Andre stopped in his tracks, his entire body vibrating with barely suppressed violence.
Be a good boy and have a seat, or I'll cut her open right now. Do you want your pet returned to you scarred or dead? Let her go,
Andres ground out.
I know I'm the one you want to punish. Just let her go. And send her back to the Feds, like you did? I don't think so. Samantha has agreed to work for me, once we're finished here. Sit down, hermanito, or I'll slit her open and let you watch her pretty insides spill all over the floor.
I gagged. My body's nauseated reaction to the horrific mental image. Andres's dark eyes were drawn tight with anguish, his scar twisting deep into his cheek. A growl slipped between his clenched teeth, but he began to move stiffly toward the spare metal chair that had been positioned a few feet in front of me. The two guards flanked him, pushing his shoulders down so he dropped onto the chair before securing his wrists behind him with a length of rope. Once his arms were bound, they trained their guns on the back of his skull.
That's better,
Christian said with satisfaction. The knife left my throat and I heaved in a gasping breath.
How should we punish my little brother for his transgressions?
he mused, as though he didn't already have his twisted plan in place. He suddenly cupped my breast with his free hand, squeezing hard. I bit back a whimper, but my eyes began